Greetings from South Africa! Woohoo! It is a great honor to be here this afternoon, and I don't think I've preached in an afternoon for a very long time, so if I say morning or evening, we just smile and wave, okay? But it really is an honor. I bring greetings from our church, I bring greetings from my precious husband. As Pastor Haley said, his name is Steve, and I have four beautiful children. I think I have a picture of them with Pastor Haley and Pastor Walker. That was our 2 weekends ago. So you can see I have three girls and my boy, who's called Caleb, because God is faithful. I got my boy. He snuck him in there because I had twins at the last round. And so I praise my husband. He's on daddy duty this weekend, so, and it's pouring with rain in Knysna at the moment, so they're all stuck in one house enjoying daddy's spoiling. Amen. It's good to have husbands that support their wives, so I'm very, very spoilt. I also want to just greet my precious Mohlobo Wam, as we say in Knysna, my special friend, Lungi, that has traveled with me. This is my Mohlobo Wam. And we have a very special connection, and I'm just honored to be her friend and have her here with you precious ladies. Can we just open up and pray? Father God, we love you. We thank you that we get to be your vessels, that you choose to use us. But Holy Spirit, we remind ourselves that it is you that waters the seed. And so Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We give you all the honor and the glory. And Lord, I pray that we will have ears to hear and hearts that are open to hear what you want to share with us. And that our lives will never be the same again. In Jesus' name we pray this. And everybody said, amen. Look at the person next to you, say, I'm watching you. Say, if you sleep, I'm going to kick you. Turn to the person on the other side. Say, I'm watching you. If she doesn't kick you, I will. Okay, girls, we've got to stay awake. This is life-changing manna. Amen. I know you've had pizzas. Was that a good pizza? Yeah. Hey, I'm glad you've had lunch. In Afrikaans, they have a saying. It says, maag is full, oog is toe. When your tummy is full, your eyes shut. So I am watching you, all right? Please. Let's get into it. I am sharing this afternoon on whose camp are you in? Whose camp are you in? And my story starts with Joshua chapter 2, with Rahab and the spies. And I know many of you know the story, but I'm going to be reading it because I believe it is a powerful story for us women for such a time as this. In Joshua 2 it says, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and they entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. Here we see Rahab and her. You've got to understand Jericho. We all know it was a walled city, but Rahab's flat or her house where she lived was actually built in the wall. Her apartment was in the actual wall. And we see how Rahab immediately sees that there are spies coming in from Israel. Now for the men in the room, thank you, men, for being man enough to serve us. For the men, they don't understand what is going on in the story because they don't understand the gifts that us women have of gathering information. We are gatherers. Men will look out the window as if they are looking out the wall. Rahab, she was gathering. Am I right? She knew immediately there were two new men in town. I come from a very, not a very small town, but quite a small town, not like your precious Zambia and Lusaka. But in Knysna, I can drive past the Pick and Pay and tell you at least 20 people that are shopping in Pick and Pay just by the cars I'm seeing in my 2-minute drive past. Am I right? You notice everything. And that's what Rahab was. She was noticing. But the other way, the other reason she was also noticing everything is that she was a prostitute. It was her job to notice men. She knew every man in that city. And she knew when there were two new men coming in. Because her whole life she had been trained to look for men. And it carries on that she convinces the soldiers that they are not with her. And we pick up in verse 8, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, this is where Rahab bears her soul to these spies. And she says, I know that the Lord has given you this land. What a wonderful revelation. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard. Everybody say we. We have heard now the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is the God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. I loved my sister's workshop where she encouraged us to show kindness to one another. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters. Everybody say, and sisters. And sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell us what we are doing, if you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this is very important, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and your mother and your brothers and all your family into your house, if any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. Okay? We will not be responsible. And as for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Amen. Here we see the first point I want to make about Rahab is that you always have a choice. You always have a choice. I believe Rahab is one of the greatest stories of grace. And grace gives you the power of choice. We hear Rahab telling the spies, we have heard. She didn't just say, I have heard via the grapevine. She makes the statement, we have heard. The king even knew that the spies were in town. I believe she made a choice that day. She chose to believe in the God of the Israelites. She chose to believe that the God, even though it scared her, that the God of the Israelites was the one true God. And she was prepared to lay down everything for him. I believe the king had the same choice. You see, the king had heard the same news, but he chose not to choose. Because I think God is so merciful that if the king had made the same choice as Rahab, I believe Jericho would have been spared. Because he is a merciful God. But there was only one woman who chose to choose the true God. And in society today, we are making those choices every single day. We are being bombarded with information. Here she had word of mouth. They had heard. Today we have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Christian channels, TVs, not even one. We have whole networks of Christian TV. We are hearing about God all the time. Am I right? We have amazing churches that are sharing this gospel with us. But the bottom line is, you have to make a choice. It cannot be something that you have heard. You have to decide, I want to serve the one true God. I am making a choice to believe that I can leave this past behind me. You see, she wasn't just choosing to live for the one true God. She was leaving everything. Her whole community, the way she had made a living, everything. She was saying, I am leaving it behind and I am choosing God. Sometimes choosing God is not an easy choice. Sometimes choosing God can be one of the hardest decisions of your life. I was blessed by my sister's testimony last night with her being a Jehovah Witness. Not all of us have an easy conversion. There are women that are running for their lives because they have chosen God in this world. And so we have a choice. God always gives us choices. Listen to Joshua 24:14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for who? For yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me, say to the person next to you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. She had to decide she was getting out of her walls. The second point I want to share with you, ladies, this afternoon, is have you hung your scarlet thread? Have you hung your scarlet thread? These spies came in. They made a promise to her and they said, Rahab, when the time comes, we want you to hang a scarlet, a deep red thread outside your window. Now, we understand right now that deep red scarlet thread represented the very precious blood of Jesus. And it's so easy to say, well, have you hung your thread? And sometimes we hang our threads maybe for a day, maybe for a week, we persuade ourselves of the finished work of Jesus. But there comes a time where you have to know you have hung your thread once and for all. In John 1, verse 29 in the Amplified, it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our sin has been taken away. by the precious blood of Jesus. It has been dealt with. In Colossians 3 verse 1 it says in the Amplified, "If then you have been raised with Christ." How many of you believe you've been raised with Christ? Okay, to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead. Aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died. You have died. Girls, when you apply the scarlet thread of Jesus, you are telling the world, I have died. Those sins that you have previously seen in my life, you will no longer see anymore, because the blood of the Lamb has taken them away. Amen. In Ephesians 4, in the Amplified, it says, strip yourself of your former nature. Strip yourself. Some of you are still carrying old clothes of your old nature. I say to my lady, some of you are carrying corpses and putting lipstick on them. You're trying to make your old nature look pretty. We are dead, girls. We are dead. We need to understand. We need to throw it off. Stop trying to make a dead person look good. Strip yourself of your old nature. If you see your sister in an old nature suit, tell her, get it off. Get it off. Living free. Put that bling t-shirt on. I am free. Woo! I am free. It says, strip yourself of your former nature. Put off, discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusions. It's a delusion. It's not the truth. It's a delusion. And be consistently, not once a year at a Living Free conference, not once a week at church. How often, girls? Constantly. That means all the time. Why? Because all the time that corpse wants to come back. That old nature wants to rise up. And it's up to us to strip it off and say, no, that's not me. I have a scarlet thread hanging out my window. That's all you're going to see. It says, continuously be renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerated self, created in God's image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. When you understand who you are, girls, then you act like a princess. You don't need to be told to act like a princess. Princess Kate doesn't get told every morning by her people, okay, just remember you're a princess. We don't want you acting cray-cray. You're a princess, okay? Remember the rules, the queen. No, she knows she's a princess. You girls need to know you are holy and righteous because of what Jesus has done. That means when all those questions that we dealt with this afternoon come up, it's like, no, 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 you don't touch me. I'm a princess. I will take you down because I am a mighty warrior of Jesus. Amen. Girls, we need to know who we are. But here was Rahab. This is a real Bible story, girls. This really, really happened. We have to apply the blood of Jesus to our lives, to our circumstances, to everything. You may say, Dee, is the blood enough? Yes, it's enough. But Dee, You don't know what I've done. You don't know what Jesus has done for you. You don't know what Rahab was doing. She was a prostitute, and yet she chose to believe in the one true God. In the story, it starts, and it says there, I love this part of what the spies say. If any of them go outside your house into the street, talking about her family, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. We just quoted that scripture from Joshua, which says, as for me and my house. But you also need to understand, you are not responsible for your house. As well as your parents are not responsible for you. You each have to make a choice whether to stay in the flat or go out of the covering of the blood of Jesus. It is up to you. Each one of us are making a choice every day whether to go out into Jericho or to stay under the covering of the blood of Jesus. And we see here the third point I want to share with, and is the title of my message, is whose camp are you in? Joshua comes. And in Joshua 16 verse 17 it says, when the seventh day came, they got up early and they marched around the city the same way, but seven times. So girls, you know the story of Jericho. Every day they marched. Now picture this. Rahab didn't have a children's Bible sitting on her bookshelf at home, like we do. She didn't have the cartoon version or the classic version, as we saw this morning, of Rahab, Oscar-nominated actress, coming out of the ruins. She didn't know the story. Can you imagine her trying to convince her family? Those of us that have family, and our poor mother-in-laws have been hounded this week. But just your immediate family. Guys, I want you to know that if you stay in my tiny apartment in the wall, okay, she didn't live in a mansion, this tiny apartment, you have to hang with me. The Israelites are coming. If you walk out, you're going to die. So that's a good threat. That always helps people feel convinced of your story. If you don't listen to me, you're going to die. Okay, so that's always a win situation. That's something we can use as a full stop. So she convinces her family, they're in the apartment with her. They've got a front view of what's going on. We're not talking about 10 men. We're not even talking about 20 men. We're talking about an army fired up that have been living on manna for 40 years, that cannot wait to get some honey and milk and grapes the size of men. Am I right? They are done. They are ready to take the promised land. Here is Rahab in her tiny little apartment, family, lots of family, because it's her father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all that were connected to her. And suddenly, they hear the sound of marching. Now, from where I come from, we have protests. And there is a sound that comes from marching. Have you ever heard real marching? Where it goes through your soul. And they were watching out the window. And here comes this army. I don't know if she saw that river parting, because they parted another river to get to Jericho. Close the river. Here they come. Family, I told you they were coming, but don't worry. We've got a plan. You can just hear her father. Okay, my child, what's the plan? Yes, we're ready. okay, I must just get my red scarf. Where's that red scarf? Okay, let's hang this red scarf outside the window. Are you kidding? Is this your plan? No. Trust me, boys. The scarf is the plan. Can you imagine her family? Are you crazy? This is the Israelite army, and you've got a red scarf. A year ago, just over a year ago, Nisna, I don't know if you heard, but your church was a huge blessing to us. We had a fire that came through our city. Over 1,000 homes were burnt to the ground. And we had an absolute miracle where our family home was literally burnt on every border. That our neighbor's house was burnt to the ground. In front of us was burnt to the ground. And our house stood, protected by the blood of Jesus. And what was so wonderful is that we were away, but we had to run for our lives because the fire was coming. And it came so quickly that I saw a house, a brick house, burn in 4 minutes to the ground on the other hill. By the time I got my suitcase, the fire was at my front door. And so we ran for our lives, but all I could think of was my family saying, "Mom, if God had spoken to you and God had said to me, put a red scarf outside your window, you will not be burnt today," I would have said, "Thank you, but no thank you. I am running. I'm running. You can have your scarf. I'm going with my suitcase." But she chose to stay. She chose to hang that scarf out. She chose to believe it is enough. Girls, we have to choose that the blood of Jesus is enough for us. It may not seem powerful, but it is enough. It is enough for us. God said, and it carries on. It says, "And then on the seventh day, they did it 7 times. Can you imagine this family? They got used to once round them, you know, there they go. Okay, they're going back. Uh-oh, what's happening now? Rahab, they're coming round again. Family, don't worry. I haven't received any SMSs. I haven't got the WhatsApp. We're safe. Whoa, they're going round again, people. Can you imagine the little nephews and nieces? One, counting, two, they're counting, three. Whoa, they're still going. It's 4. How many times? 5, 6. Can you imagine? It took them the whole day. And suddenly on the 7th day, they started to shout. Can you imagine that fear of, "Lord, are you going to remember me?" Sometimes we have that fear. "God, look at my circumstances. Do you remember me?" Like Peter on the boat. "Do you even care that we're going to die? You're sleeping in the boat. Do you even care about me?" Imagine how she felt. She was scared. And suddenly, the walls begin to rumble. And you know what the Bible, if you ever go to Israel, you will see the walls did not fall like Humpty Dumpty. They didn't go, crash. They went into the ground. Can you imagine? They're looking out the window. "Mom, there goes Auntie Sue's wall." And they look this side. "There goes Uncle John's wall. It's going down." And there they're standing in their apartment with their neighbor's walls going down. But one piece of the wall did not go down. One piece of the wall did not go down. Because it says here in verse 16, it says, "On the 7th time, around the priests blew the trumpet, and Joshua signaled the people, 'Shout, God has given you the city. The city and everything in it is under a holy curse and offered up to God. Except for Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. She is to live, she and everyone in her house, with her, because she hid the agents we sent. In verse 22, it says, Joshua ordered the two men who had spied out the land, enter the house of the harlot and rescue the woman and everyone connected with her, just as you promised her. What I love about this, Moses didn't give the spies a plan of Jericho. They were spies. They'd never been there. Am I right? If they knew what it was, they wouldn't have sent spies. Isn't that the whole purpose of spies? So Joshua sends these spies. He didn't say, okay, I've heard about Rahab. She looks like this. You'll see her. Check her profile out on Facebook. You'll recognize her. She's just uploaded yesterday. No, they knew nothing. But they find Rahab, who graciously says, I want to serve you. I want to choose your God. And what do the men? They come up with the plan instantly. They came up with the plan of the red thread. They didn't have a manual of what to do when hit a wall, get the thread. They came up with this plan. Do you know Joshua could have said, that is the craziest plan I've ever heard in my whole life. What were you thinking? A red thread? How are we going to keep one section of the wall clean? Don't you know she's a prostitute? But I love Joshua's honor. Because the spies were acting under his authority. I love it. Because they knew their leadership. And they go back to Joshua and they say, this was the plan. This is all we could think of. And Joshua says here in verse 22, he says, keep Rahab the spy safe with all those that are in her. And he says, just as you promised. So the young spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, and brothers. I'm sorry to say, I think the sisters killed themselves having to spend a week with each other. They were like, we're done. No, the sisters were there because it carries on and it says everyone connected with her. Okay? I just think they forgot the sisters part of that because they were there in the beginning. Amen. Don't worry, the sisters came out. Can you imagine spending a week with your family in a tiny room, day in and day out? Hey, with stress of wanting to die and waiting for the saving to come. They got the whole family out and gave him a place outside the camp of Israel. Girls, stay with me. Outside the camp of Israel. Look at your friend next to you. Say, outside the camp of Israel. Outside the camp of Israel. But they burned down the city and everything in it, except for the gold and silver and the bronze and iron vessels, all that they had put in the treasury of God's house. But Joseph led Rahab, who, just in case you've forgotten who she is, they keep reminding us, all right, just in case you've forgotten. Rahab, the harlot, okay. They let her live. Rahab and her father's household and everyone connected to her. She is still alive and well in Israel. Okay, obviously not now. Because she hid the agents whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Rahab even made it into Hebrew's Wall of Fame because of what she did with the spies. And ladies, her walls came tumbling down that day. She saw her past, everything that she owned, came tumbling down that day. And the spies go in and they rescue her. And where do they put her? On a camp outside. Am I right? What did it say? in a place outside the camp. And this is my story for you girls today, is what camp are you living in? Or what camp are you putting people in? I think this is a lovely thread that we've heard since last night. God wants to set us free from the walls that have encircled us our whole lives. Some of us have been trapped in our past sins. Some of you may even have been a prostitute. And just like the story, you are reminded every day of what you were. The prostitute. Rahab the harlot. And what does Israel do? They put her outside the camp. They know she's been rescued, but she's not welcome to live with the Israelites. Can you imagine the shame every day? She had no ways of providing for herself any longer. Can you imagine the comments the men made to her? Can you imagine the wives? Where are you going, honey? Are you going to collect water? Which way are you going? Are you going past the outside camp? Were you talking to Rahab yesterday as you walked? Can you imagine, like our precious panel? Weren't they great? The stigma that society puts on us when we mess up. Sometimes when we don't even mean to mess up. And we have the stigma. And what does the church do? We put you outside the camp. But that is not God's best. You cannot, when you understand the grace of God, when you understand what grace is, you cannot go back to your Jericho. Grace does not give you the power to sin and say, Jesus still loves me. Just because my sin is taken away, Jesus still loves me. No, grace means your walls have come down. You are never the same. Rahab chose to never sin in that way ever again. Grace is not the license to sin. It's a license to come out of that past and step into the new creature that God has called you to be. And I love this in the Passion Translation. It says in 2 Corinthians, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. It's vanished. God cannot see it. So why are you trying to find it? If God can't remember your sin, why are you? Let it go. I'm not going to break into Frozen, but let it go, girls. I feel like I have a Princess Elsa dress on. Like, woo! I feel like even the cold never bothered me anyway. We're in Zambia. The heat never bothered me anyway. Oh, it says, has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Say, I'm fresh and new. Even in the heat, I'm fresh and new. Hallelujah. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of what? Reconciling others to God. This isn't just for you. It's up to us to go and tell the world what God has done. That he has reconciled them to himself. That when they choose Jesus, he will bring them closer to himself. It says, in other words, it was through the anointed one that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. There is no black book in heaven. There's no DVD collection of your past sins. There's nothing. The records have been destroyed. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors. Amen. I'm an ambassador of Jesus. I'm here to tell you the good news of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly. God doesn't shout, "Hey, you come now." What does he do? He says tenderly, pleading with us directly through our lips. So we tenderly, what does it say, girls? Tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. This is the gospel. This is God saying, no matter what you've done, no matter what society has labeled you as, no matter what you have labeled yourself as, Jesus has come. And when you apply that scarlet thread, when you apply the precious blood of Jesus, you become brand new. And he says, come to me. Come. Let me show you the unforced rhythms of grace. Let me show you the new life that is before you in every area, in relationships, in family, in health, in finances. Grace can be applied to everything. And you see, this is not the end of the story. Because Rahab the harlot has an ending that blows us out of the water. Not only did she make the great hall of fame in Hebrews, but we find this wonderful ending in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Salmon was the father of Boaz. I think our next men's conference is going to be called Boaz. The Boaz conference, because that's all we're hearing this weekend. But Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Hallelujah. By Rahab, comma. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. You see, God's plan for your life is not just to rescue you from your walls. God's plan for your life is not just to put you in the camp outside of Israel. God's plan for your life is to put you in the very bloodline of Jesus. And what I love about it, it's just father of Boaz by Rahab. In Jesus' eyes, she was not a prostitute any longer. There was no more Rahab the harlot. It's just Rahab. It's just Rahab. Girls, you need to stop defining yourself by what you've done, by what others have said you've done. And it's just Dean. I'm just Dean, a princess of the king, who has the very bloodline of Jesus running through my veins because he is inside of me. Amen. Your destiny is not to live in a walled city. That is not God's best. I pray that this conference, as you hear these speakers and everyone, even the worship, the Holy Spirit is challenging you to get out of the walled cities in your life, to make a choice to serve the one and only King. Your destiny is not to live in a camp outside. Maybe you've felt shunned by society. Maybe you've had a divorce. Maybe you slept before you were married with somebody. Maybe you've had an abortion. God says your life is worth redeeming. And it's up to you today to choose to say, Lord, I'm going to apply my scarlet thread. I'm going to apply the blood of Jesus, and I'm not going back to my walled city. Those walls have to come down. You don't want to go back to Jericho. But my prayer is that this afternoon you say, Dee, I want to believe with all my heart that I am a new creature, that I can live free in who God has said I am, who you say I am. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen, girls. Won't you stand with me this afternoon?